We begin the current daf himself, the Shkalim, daf Tezvav. We begin 18 lines down from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of this parak, of this Masech, to talk about the different lishkais, the different chambers that were in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah says that Shtei Lishachis Hayu BeMikdash, there were two chambers that were in the Mikdash that were specifically for donations of monetary value. And the Mishnah explains, Achas Lishkas Chashon, one was called the discreet chamber. The Achas Lishkas Hakel, one was the utensil chamber. As the Mishnah explains, what was Lishkas Chashon? What was the chamber of the discreet? Yirei Chet, those who fear sin, Noisin L'Techa B'Chashoy, they would put it in discreetly. What does it mean they feared sin? They wanted to do the mitzvah in its complete way. Because V'Aniyim B'nei Toiv Misparnosin M'Techa B'Chashoy, so that poor people that were from places of privilege, in the sense of that they had a better upbringing, they were the sons of good ones that had money, and that they would be embarrassed to go ahead and get staka, so that they were able to go take it discreetly. That was the reason why they were called the Yerichet, and that's why they put it into this Lishkas Chashoyim, so that those people who would be embarrassed because they were people that had pride and they didn't want to go ahead and collect staka, that they would be able to go take from it discreetly. The second one, Lishkas HaKelim, the utensil chamber, that was Komishu Misnadiv Kli, anybody that wanted to donate a utensil, a vessel, Zarkalatoich, would throw it into that chamber. Va'achas L'shleishim Yoyim, and once every 30 days, Hagizborin Paisch Nesa. So then the treasurers, those who took care of the money of Hektish, they would open up once every 30 days. And then they would check. V'chol Kli Shematzu B'Yitzorich L'Bedek HaBayis, any utensil that there was a necessity, there was a need for it, let's say a hammer or other things like that for the Bedek HaBayis, for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. Then Manichan Oysa, they would leave it and they would use it. V'Hashar and the rest, Nimkaron, they would be sold. V'Temeim Neiflin L'Bedek HaBayis, and the money that would come from it, the revenue, would then be used for the Bedek HaBayis, for the upkeep, and all the different things that were necessary to be used in the Beis HaMikdash. So now our Gemara continues on this theme that our Mishnah had mentioned regarding giving tzedakah in discreetly, b'chashoy, and just in general the concept and the different ways that tzedakah should be done. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachman, have a parnasim. They were the leaders, they were in charge of the Jewish people. V'have a yahavin l'Reb Chama, they would give tzedakah to Reb Chama, who was Avad Reb Yeshua, who was the father of Reb Yeshua, dinner. They would give him a dinner. V'hu yov le'lecharn, and he would give that tzedakah that he had collected, he would give it to others. And that is, there were others that were embarrassed to go ahead and take from those that were the leaders of the community. So he would take as if he's taking tzedakah, and then he would give it to the other ones because he didn't really need it. He just didn't want them to be embarrassed, so he would take and give it to others. Similarly, Reb Zecharia, Chasnid Reb Levi, Reb Zecharia was the son-in-law of Reb Levi. Hoyuhakol Malizna Love, everyone was spreading rumors about him, talking about him. Armin, they said, the late Tsarch Vuhunasiv, he has enough means, he doesn't need, and yet here he is, he's taking tzedakah. However, min de damach, when he passed away, badkin va'ashkechin, they checked and they found out, to have a mafig le'lecharnin, he was really giving it away to others that were too embarrassed to take, and really the rumors were unfounded in the sense of he wasn't even taking the tzedakah, he was giving it to others. Moreover, Reb Chinina bar Papa, have a mafig mitzvah, he would disperse mitzvah, which is a reference to the mitzvah of tzedakah, charity, belelia, at nighttime. And the reason was because that's what's that would be the ultimate matan beseser, giving it discreetly, that those who are receiving it should not be embarrassed, because they don't see it comes, the package, at night. Nechadzman, pogabei rabban d'ruchaya. One time, he encountered the chief of all the spirits, of all the different spirits that are there in the world, the shadim. Amaleisa, so he said to him, Loichin Alfin Rebbe, didn't you, our master, teach the pasuk that says in Devarim, Loisasik Vul Re'echa, you should not breach, you should not take over the boundary of your friend, of your neighbor? And that is, what do you mean? What are you doing here walking around at nighttime? Nighttime is the time of the different spirits. As it says, Al Yetzei Tamad Chacham Yechid B'Laila. A Talmudic scholar is not supposed to walk alone at night, and here you are walking. We could harm you. So Amaleisa, he responded to him, but V'loi Cheng Siv, doesn't it also say a pasuk in Mishlei, Matan B'Seser, giving a gift in discreetly in the hiddenness, Yich Fa'af, that turns over the anger? And he was saying, that's my whole intent why I'm going here at nighttime, is that it's knowing that these people shouldn't be embarrassed. And that's the general klal of Shluchim Mitzvah, those who are messengers of a mitzvah, they don't get nizakin, they don't get harmed. And especially in this concept of Matan B'Seser, which that overturns the anger, which is the concept of shadim and other things like that. And the Gemara tells us, "Have mistafim inayim." The shade was afraid that he shouldn't be turned over of the yichvav va'arik min kamoi, and he ran away from him. The Gemara continues on this theme. Amr b'yena, Ashrei noisin l'dal. Praiseworthy is the one that gives to the poor person. Ein k'siv kan. That's not what the pasuk says in Tehillim. Elo, rather, what does the pasuk in Tehillim say? Ashrei maskil l'dal. Praiseworthy is the one that is understanding towards the poor person. Now, what does that mean? Zeshu mistakel b'mitzvah hechlasus. That's somebody that looks at the mitzvah of tzedakah and sees how to go ahead and execute it, which means to say with wisdom and understanding that it shouldn't be degrading for the poor person that's getting the money. As the Gemara tells us, Ketzer ha'y Rebbeinu Isa. Rebbeinu, who said over this teaching, how did he go ahead and do tzedakah? So he says, Kesha ha'yiroya ani ben tovim, shared min chasab, when he saw a poor person that was the son of people that had means, but now he lost his resources. Hayamallah, he said to him, Bini, my son, Bishvil Shishamati, because I heard Shinafalakha Yerushim Wakamach, I heard that there was inheritance that fell for you for elsewhere. And that is, it wasn't necessarily a lie, because there's a pasuk that says Bayis Vahayin, that a house and wealth is nachlis avos, is the inheritance of the fathers. And when this person lost his money, his Yerusha is coming from elsewhere, because that means that his support should come from other people. And the ones who are supporting him become like his fathers that are being mashpia to him. And therefore, it is a sense that it's coming to you from elsewhere, which means us. Now, but he was just saying in the general way, he says, look, I heard, there's really money coming your way. I'm not afraid of investing with you because I know you have money. So tul v'at pareya, I'm not concerned. I know you're going to get money. Take and then pay back. This is also related to what the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos tells us in Daf Kofnun Alpha Mabez, that when a poor person comes to you, you should be quick to give him bread. And the reason is so that he should give bread to your children. And that's because wealth is cyclical. And if it doesn't come to him, poverty comes to his son. If not to his son, to his grandson. And that's how it says in Medrash Rabbah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it like sulamis. He makes this one wealthy, he makes this one poor. And this is what he meant to him, that when he said, then you'll pay back. Well, it means to say one day it'll come back from your family to my family. But then min dehav nasib, once the person already took, because he didn't feel bad, he wasn't getting tzedakah, he says, look, I heard you're getting money. He thinks he's inheriting something, he's willing to invest with him. But once he gave it to him, hav amali, then he told him, matan ilach, it's a gift for you. And the reason why he did that was because he didn't want the person to actually literally think that he's a bal chayv, that he's a debt, he's in debt to the person, and that he's going to be sad, as the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechta Avodah Zarah, that a bal chayv, someone that's a debtor, is depressed, he's sad. So therefore, once he took it already because he didn't feel like it was tzedakah, and then he says, you know what, it's a gift for you. The Gemara tells us, Chiya bar Ada said, that is have a savin b'yaminan. There used to be in our days, there were elderly people, that man to have a yohev l'hoin, mibein rei shatel et seim rabba, that if someone would give them tzedakah, from the beginning of the year, from Rosh Hashanah, to the great fast, which is a reference to Yom Kippur, meaning during Aseret Yitzchuvah, if someone gave them tzedakah, have a nasv, and then they would take. But min basar came after Yom Kippurim until Rosh Hashanah, lo have a nasv, and they wouldn't take tzedakah. And Amrin, they would say, the shatan, that which has already been designated for the year, is gaban, it's by us. And that's because the gist of the Yerushalmi is that kol mezaynosiv shel adam ketzuvin, all the person's parnasa, all his food, is already set from Rosh Hashanah v'ad Yom Kippurim until Yom Kippurim. Which means to say that they understood it meant to say that the setting of it is not like the girsa that there are those in the Bavli that from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, that means to say that you have it set. Rather, the setting of that is decided from Rosh Hashanah Kippurim. That's when it's being decided. And therefore, up until Yom Kippurim, it hasn't yet been set from Shemayim what they're going to get that year. And therefore, they're allowed to take from other people. Whereas after Yom Kippurim until Rosh Hashanah, where it's already been set, their parnasa for the entire year, so then there's no reason for them to take from someone else's tzedakah, because Hashem is going to get it to them by hook or by crook. And we say in benching, I don't have to come out to other people. Hashem will get me the money, so therefore they refuse to take tzedakah. So it's made tshuva with it. It hasn't yet been decided. It kitzvitz from Rosh Hashanah to Mikipurim. That's when it's being decided, then we can take from other people. So the Gemara tells us that Nehemiah ish shichin, he was a man who dug the pits. He once met a certain Yerushalmi, a man from Jerusalem. So Amalei, so the poor person told him, Zcheimi, married through me, with me, one hen. Now what he meant to say with Zachemi, merit with me, he meant to say, give me tzedakah and give me the hen. As the Gemara says elsewhere, that more than what the Balabayis does with the poor person is what the poor person does with the Balabayis. That he allows him, he merits the Balabayis, the owner, the wealthy person, to have the mitzvah of tzedakah. And therefore he was saying, merit through me. In other words, it was a way of saying, give me tzedakah and give me a hand. So Malay said, Nechemya told him, halach, look, take this coin, and with this coin I want you to buy two mesei de kupat, a piece of beef, a piece of meat. And that is, you shouldn't be going around asking for these delicacies of hen. You get money, whatever it is you get, and buy beef with it. V'zavin kupat, and he bought meat. V'achal, and he ate this beef. Umis, and he died. V'avetzavach v'ama, and the Nechemya was screaming and saying, Bayu v'saftu, come and eulogize l'harugish al Nechemya, to this person that was killed by Nechemya. And what he meant to say was, because had I given him the hen, that type of chicken that he was used to eating, and not forcing him to say, look, you're poor, you can't be choosy, beggars can't be choosy, and therefore you got to eat this piece of beef, he would have still lived. Similarly, the Gemara says, Nachim ish Gamzu. Nachim, he was called the man of Gamzu, and that's because he always used to say, Gamzu l'teva. This too is for the good. So, Hayimaylich Darin l'beis Chamav. One time he was bringing a gift to his father-in-law's house. And in the Bavli, in Masechtas Tainus, it says there was actually three donkey loads full of, one with food, one with drink, and one with delicacies. Poga memukesh chenechad. So there was one person that was afflicted with boils that encountered him on his way to his father-in-law, who you were able to see there was very ill and weak and sick. So Amalei, so the mukesh chen, this person with the boils, told to Nachum ish Gamzu, he says, Zechei mi, merit with me, mimad iskabach, with what you have with you. Now, he didn't tell him, like, he was dying. He said, please give me something, I'm about to die. Rather, he used the terminology of, like, a regular person that asked for tzedakah, that zekei me. And he didn't say that he was going to die, because had he said like that, then, of course, Nachum ish Gamzu would have given him right away. Now, he thought when he comes back, he's going to give it to him. And the reason is because since he had the honor of his father-in-law, who there is a chiv of kavod to, he was running to do it. And that's why it specifies that he was on his way to his father-in-law. That's why the Gemara tells the Amalei, the Nachum ish Gamzu told him, Mechzer, when I come back, I'm on my way doing a mitzvah, I'm honoring my father-in-law. When I come back, I'm going to give it to you. Chazer v'ashk chemis. By the time he came back, he saw that he died. V'ava Amalei kivle, and then facing this corpse, this dead person, Nachum ish Gamzu said the following. He says, Einer d'chaminach, my eyes that saw you, v'lo yisvanlach, and did not draw me to you to help you, yistamyon. They should become blind. And that's because Nachum ish Gamzu felt, he held himself responsible, that he didn't look and see and analyze. There you are, you're seeing someone, see how ill he is, and that how you have to go ahead and quick to help him out and give him the food that he needs. Yidei deloy pashtin mitaloch, my hand did not open up to give you, as the pasuk actually says, pasuch tiftach hasidecha, which is a reference to tzedakah, yiskatun. Those hands should be chopped off. Raglaya deloy ratin lemitaloch, and my legs that did not run to go out and help you, either that means to say right away, or even when on his way back from his father-in-law, that he should have ran on his way back from the fear and the worry about the poor person, and then maybe he would have still found that he's alive and they could have saved him. So, Yitavrin, they should be broken. And the Gemara tells us, Umatzekein, and all these things happened to him. He became blind, his hands fell off, and his legs broke. Now, the Gemara tells us, Tzolik Ligabei Rabbi Kiva. Kiva came to visit Nachum ish Gamzu. Amalei said to him, Oili shani roya ischo b'kach, woe to me that I see you in such a state, blind, and the legs are broken, the arms are off. Amalei said, Nachum ish Gamzu said to Rabbi Kiva, Oili, woe to me, she'en ani roya ischo b'kach, that I don't see you like that. So Amalei, Rabbi Kiva told him, Mat makalei leini, why are you cursing me? So Amalei, so Nachum ish Gamzu said, Uma'at mevad b'yisurim, why do you reject afflictions? Yisurim is a beautiful thing. So the Gemara tells us that, similarly, that Reb Hoshia, related to this sugya, Reb Hoshia Rabba, the Reb Hoshia the Great, have a Rabbi Debray. One of his sons had a teacher, that Chad Sagi Nahir was a blind person. And he was used to eating with him every single day. Now Chadzman, Havali Archon, one time Reb Hoshia Rabba had guests. And he didn't come to eat with him, to dine with him. Now, Baram Shasalkel Gabe, by the evening, so he came to the blind Rebbe. Amalei said to him, Lo yichis maralai, I don't want you to be angry at me. Begin to havali archin yamidain. The reason is because I had guests today. The Amrish that I said, the le livzu biyikra demari yamidain. I don't want them to embarrass the honor of you. They don't know you, they see you, that you're blind. That's similar to what we spoke about with Nachum Yosef Gamzu, the state that he was in. And he says, I don't want them to look down at you. Begin Kain Lo Achlis and Mori Yemedin. That's why I didn't eat with you, my son's Rebbe, today. So the blind Rebbe told him, Ata Piyasta Lamande Meschami Veloy Chami. You appease someone that is seen but doesn't see. Dein Dechami Veloy Meschami Yikabel Piyusach. The one who sees but isn't seen should accept your appeasement. Now, what that meant to say was a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he said to him, Hadim Analach. Where'd you get such a beautiful bracha with such wisdom to say that the one that's not, that doesn't see, which meant to say the Rebbe that's blind, but is seen, and then the one who sees but isn't seen, which is Rebbe Hashem, should bless you. So he responded to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. The Elazar ben Yaakov, Ochad the Sagi Nerli Krasi. One time there was a blind person that came to his city. Yosef Le Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Leramane. So Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov sat below him. The Yemrin, that they should say, the Ilule de Hava Barnasha Rabba. Now, if this blind person wasn't such a great person, Lo Yosef Le Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Leramane, he wouldn't sit below him. Obviously, this person's a great tzaddik. Maybe we don't know who he is. Maybe it was Lamed Vav Tzaddikim. And therefore, he's sitting below him. So Avdin Le Parnasa de Iker, so they made for him, they supported this blind person that was honorable. So Amalain, so he said to the people, Ma Hochen, what's going on over here? So he saw people doing way more than he was used to people doing for him. So Amr Lay, they said to him, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, Yosef Leraminach. I mean, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, the great person that he sat below you, and that's why we're doing these things for you, because obviously you're a great person. So Bitzoli Aloy Haditz Lusin. So the blind person said the following tefillah for Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. It says, At the Gemalta Chesed, you did a Chesed, Lamadim Eschami Velo Echami, for the one that is seen but doesn't see. Dein the Chami Velo Eschami, so the one that sees and isn't seen, Yigmal Yosel Chesed should do Chesed to you. Now the Gemara continues regarding this idea of Tzedakah. The Gemara brings the following story. Reb Chama Bar Chanina, Reb Hayishir Rabba, have metailin be'ilin kenishta delud. They were once walking amongst the great synagogues, the shuls in the Bat Midrashim in Lud. So Amr Reb Chama Bar Chanina Reb Hayishir says, Kama Mamin Shikah Voisikan. How much money my fathers invested and sank into these places because they built these shuls. So Amalei, Reb Hayishir Rabba said to him, Kama Nefashish Shikah Voisikan. How many souls did they bury over here? And that is, Lehavi is b'nei nash, the yilin b'arais, were there no people that were sitting and learning? And when they meant to, that what they meant was, they should have spent their money to support the Talmid HaChamim, that they didn't have money to learn, and not to invest in all these shuls and these beautiful buildings that they were building. And that is because, obviously, you have to say that Reb Hayishir knew that there were poor people that were b'nei Torah at that time, that they because of the parnasa that they didn't have enough to support themselves, so they gave up their learning. And the fathers of Reb Chama should have supported these people, and not to be particular in how beautiful and how the building should be great, they should have supported Talmid Chacham. Some of the Gemara says that Reb Avin, Avad Ilan Taraya, Reb Avin made these beautiful gates for the shul. The Sidra Rabba, which was for the Beis HaMedrash HaGadol, the great Beis HaMedrash. We continue our Talmud Beis. Asr Ramana came to visit Reb Avin. So Reb Avin told him, Chami my avdis, did you see what I did? You see these gates? And he was praising himself. He said, look how beautiful I made this shul, the Beis Medrash. So Ramana responded to him. He quoted a pasuk in Hosea. He says, V'yishkach Yisrael esayseyo. The Jewish people have forgotten their maker. V'yivin echolos. And they build temples, they build buildings. And who he's saying, he says, what does that mean? They forget the building? And what he meant to say was, were there no people that were learning Torah? They should have spent their money. Don't go building these beautiful gates. Support people that are sitting and learning and they don't have money instead of investing in making the beautiful buildings. So now the Gemara concludes this parak with the second lishka that we spoke about in the Mishnah, that of the lishkas hakelim. So tell me, we learn the braisa, kochi hamizbeach. That is, those things that are designated to buy the karbanis that are meant for the mizbeach, if there wasn't enough money for the karbanis, then mitzina saror lehen mikadshei bet hakabayis, then you could take out what they need from the kadshei bet hakabayis, and that is basically two different kadshim in the Beis HaMikdash. There's the kadshim mizbeach, those that are designated to buy the karbanis. That was what we began Masechta Shkalim with. That was the Trumas HaLishka. And then there was kadshei bet hakabayis, was all other things that they used in the Beis HaMikdash that was for the upkeep. Now, if there's not enough money resources for the Kachet Mizbech, they could take it from the Kachet Bedek HaBayis. However, in Kachet Bedek HaBayis, Meitzin Nesarolehen, Mikachet Mizbech. If they run out of funds to use for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, they cannot go ahead and take that from the Kachet Mizbech. Now the Gemara asks, but Tanina, we learned our Mishnah, said, Kli Shematzubai, this was the Lishkas HaKelim. And people would put in utensils, vessels that they donated to the Beis HaMikdash. So it says that Kli Shematzubai, Tzarech LeBedek HaBayis, that if they found a vessel that they needed for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, then Manichin, I said they would leave it in the Beis HaMikdash, for Hashar, and then the rest of the vessels, the utensils, that they had no need for, Nimkarim, they would be sold, for Dimeim Neifel LeBedek HaBayis, and then those monies would fall to the Bedek HaBayis. But the question is, it sounds like that these vessels, these utensils, were only used for Kachet Bedek HaBayis and not for the Kachet Mizbeach. It doesn't say that it could be used for Kachet Mizbeach, but we just said before that you could take Kachet Mizbeach from the Kachet Bedek HaBayis. On that, Rabbi Chizkia, Kainim Asnitin, the interpretation of the Mishnah is Lelishkas Bedek HaBayis. Not that it was used for the Bedek HaBayis, but it was used for the chamber of the Bedek HaBayis. And that is, the interpretation is that a utensil that they found a need for, and that could be either for the need of the Mizbeach or for the Bedek HaBayis, then they would place it in the Lishkas Bedek HaBayis, in the chamber of the Bedek HaBayis, and then from there they would take it for whichever one they needed, and it could go for either Kachet Bedek HaBayis, or for even, as we said before, for the Kachet Mizbeach. Hanuloch Perek El HaMamunin, we shall return to you, Perek El HaMamunin, the fifth Perek in Masechta Shkolim. Now we begin the sixth Perek in Masechta Shkolim, Perek Shloisha Asit Shefaris. So now this parak continues on the similar theme, as we said before, regarding the lishkas, the different chambers, and the different rooms that were in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah begins. Shloisha Asir Shefaris. There were 13 different boxes. Now, these were narrow on the top and wide on the bottom, and they were bent like a shefer, and that's why they were called shefaris, as you will explain why it was in this shape. Shloisha Asir Shulchanis. There were 13 tables. And Shloisha Asir Shtachavoyis. And there were also 13, the same number, by all these three, of prostrations of different places in the Beis HaMikdash where they would bow down. Hoyi B'Mikdash, all these three had 13 of them in the Beis HaMikdash. However, Shal Beis Reb Gamliel, Shal Beis Reb Chananya, Sekana Kehanim, Hoyi Mishtachvim Ba'arba Esrei. They wouldn't bow down just in 13 places. They would bow down in 14 places. And the Gemara will explain what are these 13 places. But now the Mishnah asks, V'heichen Hoyi Yisera. Now, what was this extra 14th one that they did more than the 13 that everyone did? That was connected dir ha'etzim. That was opposite the chamber of the wood. That was, there was a chamber that's where they would put all the atzei amaroch, all the firewood that was used for the top of the mizbeach, and that was at the northeastern part of the Ezra's Nashim. Now, why did they bow down over there? Shekem esarius biyodin mabasim, because it's a tradition that they have from their fathers. Shesham ha'arinignas, that is where the ark was hidden through Yeshayahu, as the Gemara will explain that at one point in time it was hidden. Now the Gemara tells us, actually, a story that illustrates this, that Maisa b'Koyin Echad Shehayim Asasik. There was once a story with one Koyin that he was busy with his hatchet in the work that he was doing, that he was deworming the wood that was necessary to be used on the Mizbeach. V'ra'a es haritzpa shimashunim chaveresel. And when he was in this dir ha'etzim, he saw one of the tiles of the floor look different than the other ones, and that one of the stones was higher than the other stones of the floor, and he understood that it was taken off and then it was put back. So Bav Amal Chaver, he went to tell his friends, but Lehispuk Ligma Sadaba, he didn't get a chance to conclude his mission, to tell everybody, Achiyasin Nishmasay, until his soul departed, he died. V'yadu, and they knew, B'yichud Shesham Aron Gondas, they understood clearly that that's because that is the place where the Aron was hidden. So the Gemara says, Tani, the start off that we spoke about in the Mishnah, the 13 Shefaris. So HaShefaris Halali, these boxes, Akumas Hayu, they were bent. Tsaris Malman, and they were narrow on the top. V'Rechavis Malmata, and wide on the bottom. And the reason why it had this shape was B'nei HaRamoyim, because of the deceivers. And that is that the Ramoyim should not make themselves as if they're putting something in the box, but really they're taking it out quietly. That's why it was in that shape, that it should all fall down to the bottom, which is wide on the bottom, and narrow on the top, that they can't stick their hands in and take the money out. Now, related to what our Mishnah said, that the 14th place that they bowed down, which was opposite the Dir Ha'etzim, because they had the tradition that that is where the Aron was nigdus. Now the Gemara discusses that regarding what actually happened to the Aron. So, Tani, we learned in the Braisa, B'Shem Reb Elazar, Neim Reb Elazar, Ha'aron Gala Yemoin LeBavel. His opinion is, actually, that the Aron went down with him in exile to Bavel. my time, or what's the reason? What's the reason for this source? So there's a pasuk in Malachim Beis that says, "Lo yivasir davar am Hashem." Hashem said that nothing will be left over. And the truth is, the pasuk already says, "Kol asher bebeisecha," whatever is in your house, which meant to say that everything from the Beis Hamikdash is going to be included. Why do I have to say, "Lo yivasir davar"? Rather, that's going on the Aron, that even the Aron HaKadosh, when after the Churban Beis HaMikdash HaRishon, that when they went down to Bavel, even that went down. And how do we see from Lo Yivaser Dover that even Dover won't be left over? Because Ein Dover, Ela Shahad Dibris L'Toichei. Dover means from the word, comes from the Aseres HaDibris, from the 10 sayings, that the Dibris are inside of it, which are referenced to the Aron, even that won't be left over. Even that is taken down to Golas Bavel. V'chein Emer, so too it says in the Pasuk in Divrei Yamim Beis, that says L'tshuvas Hashana, that the turn of the year, Shalach HaMelech Nebuchadnezzar, the king Nebuchadnezzar sent, by the Yehu Bavela, and he brought Melchi Chanya to Bavel, im klei chemdas beis Hashem, with the precious utensils of the household of Hashem. Now, ezu klei chemdas beis Hashem, what is the precious utensil of the household of Hashem? Zeh Aron, again, that's a reference to the Aron, that's the source that he has, that the Aron went down to Golas Bavel. However, Yehuda ben Lakishheimer, he argues, and he says, "Bimkoymei haya Aron Nignas." It actually was concealed, it was hidden in the place of where it always was, in the Kachi Kachim. Hadahu dechsev, this is what it says in the Pasuk in Malachim Aleph, "Vayarichu habadim," that the poles were long, "Vayiro rashi habadim," and the Girsa changes to min hakodesh, and that the edges of the poles were seen from the sanctuary, and the Girsa here changes from el to al pnei hadver, on the surface of the Kachi Kachim, v'loi roha chutza, but it wasn't seen outside. Now, and there the Pasuk says the term ad hayoyim hazeh, up until this day, which is mashma, that it was hidden in its place because it's there until today, it never left the place where it always was. Now, the Gemara asks, once we mentioned the Pasuk of Yiro and Lo Yiro, so the Gemara asks, k'siv v'yiro, the beginning of the Pasuk says that they were seen on the outside, from the Kachi Kachim out into the Oyel Moyet, out into the Heichel. The Adam, and then you say at the end of the pasuk v'leiron that they weren't seen. How do we understand it? So El Rav, the Gemara says nirin v'le nirin. Yes, they were seen, but they weren't seen, and that is bolt and v'yotzin. They would protrude and stick out kishnei da dehiisha, like the two breasts of a woman, and that is the poles would stick out by the curtain, and they would be seen like the two breasts of a woman that stick out from under her shirt. So it was seen, but it wasn't seen. Now Rabban Army, their brothers say a third pshat. What actually happened with the Aron? They say, Belishkas der ha'etzim hoya Aron ganas, similar to what we had mentioned in the Mishnah, that in the chamber of where the wood was kept, that's where the Aron was concealed, was hidden. As the Gemara brings, the Maisa b'Koyin Echad Balmum, there was a story with a Koyin that was blemished, and therefore he wasn't fit to do any other Avodah. So, Shahaya Oymed Mefatzel Eitzim, he was standing and checking for worms inside the wood, deworming the wood. Belishkas der ha'etzim, in the chamber of the wood. And he saw the floor, that there was one tile that looked different, one piece of wood, of stone that looked different than the other ones. So above Amal Chaver, he came and to tell his friends, come look at this floor, at this part of the floor, which is different than the rest. But he didn't get a chance to finish his statement until his soul departed. And therefore they knew clearly that that is where the Aron was concealed. And this supports the opinion of the Rabbanan that this was exactly where it was concealed. So it didn't go down to Bavel and it wasn't in the Kachi Kachim. Rather, it was in the Dir Ha'etzim. However, Tani Reb Hoysha said over a different version of that story that Hikash Alei HaBakornis, he hit that tile with a hammer, the Yatzis Eish B'Saraftai, and then fire came out and consumed him and burned him. Now, regarding the Aron, the Gemara brings the following machlekes. Tani, we learned, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish Omer, he says, Beis Aronis hoye mahalchen miso bamidbar. There were actually two arks that went out with the Jewish people in the desert. Echad shehoisa ha'tayr in the sunah b'toicha. One was the one that Betzal had made, that the Torah was placed inside of that. Ve'achar, the other one, shehoyu shivri luchis in the sunah b'toicha, was the one that Moshe Rabbeinu made, that the broken luchis were placed inside of that. Now, zeh shehoisa ha'tayr in the sunah b'toicha, the one that the Torah was placed inside of it, that was inside the Oil Moed in the base of Mikdash. This is what the Pasuk says in Bamidbar. That the ark that held the covenant of Hashem and Moshe did not leave from within the midst of the camp because it always stayed there in the Oil Moed. However, the one that the broken Luchas, which was from the first Luchas that Moshe Rabbeinu got, that he came down and he broke them, the ones that, and then the later one, there was the second luchas, you know, the broken ones, that ark that had that one in it, hayinichnis v'yetzim, and that would come in and go out with them when they had to go in war. U'pa'am shayim Yisra'im, and sometimes it was seen with them, and some take out the skirsa because it was always with them. But the point is, that was the other one with the shivei luchas that would go and come out with them. It didn't stay necessarily in the camp. Rabban Amar, however, the Rabban say, and they argue, say, no, Aron Echad Hay, there was only one ark. It was only one time that the ark left from the base of Migdash in the days of Eli, Vinishpa, and it was held captive by the Pelishtim, by the Philistines. So the Gemara tells us that actually a Pasuk supports the opinion of the Rabban that it was only one, because the Pasuk in Shmuel Alf that says, when the Pelishtim took, when they saw the ark was coming, they said, Oy lanu, woe to us, who is going to save us from this great and mighty God of theirs? And the reason for this is because this was something that they never saw in their lives, because this was the only time that ever happened, like the opinion of the Rabbanan, because the ark never didn't come out. If it was like the other opinion that the ark always went out with one of them, they wouldn't say, oh, woe to us, they always saw the ark. So it must be because it never went out, there was only one, and this was the one time, and that's when the Pelishtim went and took the Aron captive. However, the Gemara says, "Kari Misael Reb Yehuda ben Lakish." There's a pasuk that supports the other opinion of Reb Yehuda ben Lakish, because there's a pasuk over there in Shmuel Alf that says, "V'yemish Shaul la'achia." Shaul told ta'achia, says, "Hagisha aroyno l'kim, bring the Aron of God." Now, v'halay Aron b'kiris yarim hayu. The question is, the Aron was in kiris yarim, meaning at that time until David took it from there, which was many years later, it's somewhere else. The question is, what's Hagisha that Shaul was telling Achia that was sounding like that it was over here and it was coming, come and bring towards where the Aron is, if it was somewhere totally elsewhere? So must be, like Yehuda ben Lakish, that there were two Aronis, and the one that was with them in the war, that's what he said, Hagisha, come and bring it over here, because that was right over here. It wasn't over there where the Aron was for all those years in Kiryas Yearim. So the Gemara asks, Ma Avdin Lay Rabban, what did Rabbanah do with this pasuk? It actually seems like that there were two Aronis. One where it was always kept up until the days when David brought into the base into Yerushalayim. And however, here we have it that it was out with them in war. That the Rabbanah answer, Hagisha Eli Hatzitz. What Shaul was saying was, bring to me the tzitz, which was the plate that was worn on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. Meaning, when he said to him, bring me the Aron Elikim, it didn't mean the Aron, the Ark. It meant to say Aron, which literally means a box. The box that the tzitz, that is placed inside of it. And that is, it's not the Aron Bris Hashem. We're talking about the box that the chesh and the ephod, the urim betumim, and all these different things are placed in it. Now, the reason why he mentioned the tzitz was because you're not allowed to ask by the urim betumim only if you're wearing all the shmein begadim, all the eight garments of the kohen gadol, and the tzitz is one of them. And he wanted to ask a question for the urim betumim. That's why he says, "Come here and bring the box that has the tzitz, which has all the Shemayin Begadim, because I want to ask a question to the Ritumim," but it wasn't the Aron, because you're right, the Aron was in Kiryas Yearim, and there were only one Aron, and there wasn't two Aronis. The Gemara says another, Kari Misayel Reb Yehuda ben Lakish, another support for Reb Yehuda ben Lakish, that there were two Aronis, because it says a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, when Uriah told to David, when David told him to come back from war and go home, so Uriah told him, Aron v'Yisrael v'Yehuda yeshem basukis, the ark, the Jewish people in Judea, they're all in huts, they're out in wartime, and you want me to come back home? How could I, when they're all out in war? So we continue on to the top of Tezayin Med Aleph. The question is, Aron b'tzin haya. At that time, the ark wasn't seen, was in Yerushalayim. Now, how could he say that the ark is with the Jewish people in sukkahs, in huts? Must be that there were two Aronis. And he was referring to the Aron that was in the wartime. That Aron is still out in war, and how could I come back home? So the Gemara says, Ma Avdin Le Rabban. So what did Rabban do? That actually sounds like there's two different Aronis, because one was in sea, and it wasn't out in huts in the war. And then the Gemara says, Schach Shuhu Kikiroi. It means to say that a temporary covering, Shadayin Le Nivna Beis Bechir, because the Beis Migdash in the times of David wasn't yet built. And what Uriah was saying was, it's in a hut, in the tent, because it's not in a bay, it's not in a house, it's not in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what Uriah was being stringent on himself. He says, how could I come home and be with my wife when it's not in its place, in the settled place of a house? But yes, it wasn't out in the wartime, because according to Rabbanan, there was only one Aron, and that wasn't seen at that time. It just means to say that it wasn't in a bay, it's in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore he was saying that, how could I go home and be with my wife?